Hello and welcome to Sports Report Podcast, episode 29. I'm Billy, and we're finally back, kind of going along here. Welcome to the show. Today is Sunday, July 3rd, almost Independence Day, so happy Independence Day. Alejandro and Aiden are here with me today, but we have so much to talk about, this week. Honestly, just so much going on with the NFL and a lot of the MLB stuff coming back, the NBA stuff coming back. Finally, the corona talk can finally go away, hopefully. I mean, it's been way too long. Honestly, just way, way too long. Also, Alejandro and Aiden will hopefully be back next week. We're going to try to go back at a pace. I know we say that all the time. It's just random uploads all the time. All the time, it's just random uploads. Anyways, let's get into the Cam Newton stuff. So Cam Newton, I believe it was on Monday. Cam Newton, well, Friday night. And then it came into this week. And Cam Newton was actually signed by the New England Patriots, my favorite football team. Patriots fan here. And so that's going to be from that aspect. I love my Patriots, and this Cam Newton signing, when it first came out, I was honestly shocked. I didn't expect this at all. I mean, Cam's been waiting for it's been 3 months pretty much since the start of free agency. And I mean, Cam has been on the table for a long time. I was thinking that he was going to go LA or somewhere, because I don't think they even signed Bortles back as their backup. I don't even know who they have as a backup right now. So I was like, okay, Cam's probably just going to go sign his backup somewhere. Maybe he'll go over to the Chargers, be a backup there maybe, or be a backup in for the Rams, some other LA team, or try to fight somewhere in Jacksonville. Pat McAfee's been talking a lot about that, which I don't think Jacksonville was really a realistic spot for Cam in the first place, because they're pretty centered on Minshew. And if Minshew doesn't work out, they're going to go for Lawrence next year, or Fields, or Trey Lance, or someone in the next year's draft. Anyways, Patriots signed Newton. They've been waiting on this for a long time. I was really set on Jarrett Stidham. I believe on the podcast, I've said many times that I love Jarrett Stidham. And believe me, I still do love Jarrett Stidham. I think Jarrett Stidham will be a very good quarterback for the foreseeable future in the NFL once he finally gets to start. And to be honest, there's a lot of reports coming out that Stidham still is the guy, and he could be the one to start week one. And a lot of people are thinking that still. And I'd have to say that I'm somewhat in that boat. I'm 50-50. Newton signed for about $1 million. It's pretty much the minimum. I believe 41 kickers are making, I saw something crazy stat this week that 41 kickers have more guaranteed money than Cam Newton. And Newton has $550,000 guaranteed. It's a $1 million contract, and he can make up to $7.5 million in incentives. So he's making a very low contract, and he came out and he said that it's not about the money. It's proving year, which clearly it is. I've been saying this for a long time that Newton, he has to learn that he's not going to be able to get this huge, huge-ass contract anymore. Newton needs to realize that the QB market was pretty full. Everybody's pretty settled with their starters, and that he's going to have to take a proving year type contract. And that's not his worth. Sherman was offended that Newton didn't get a lot of money, which, and that Newton wasn't, he's worth more than that, which is true. Cam Newton is worth more than that. But Newton realizes that he can't get the money that he is worth, because there's just not enough spaces around the league. And this New England job comes up, and as a Patriots fan, we haven't had cap space for we never have cap space, basically. We never have cap space. We still have $10 million off of Brady's contract coming on to our cap space this year. And I think after the Newton signing, we have $600,000 in cap space. So we have bare minimum. Not as bad as the Chiefs, but pretty much bare minimum in cap space. And so Newton was going to have to sign for that very, very cheap contract. And he realized that it's proving year. Him and Stidham are going to go head to head. Belichick loves Stidham. there was a coach in the AFC East, Diana Rossini. She reported this, that there was a coach in the AFC East. A lot of people are saying Adam Gase because people think Stidham's crap. But the people that just say Stidham's crap blindly has never, never looked into any of his film from Baylor or Auburn, or they just look at his last year at Auburn and just look at that. They don't look into the systems he runs or any of that. They don't do any in-depth research. They just say, oh, he's a fourth round pick. He sucks. He's never going to do anything. And that's how you, that's not how you scout. You don't scout that way. And I'm not a professional scout. I'm just saying you want to use common sense when you're looking into players. So yes. Yeah, so she said that's one of the AFC East coaches said that they think Belichick loves Stidham, which I think is pretty clear. Everybody knows he loves Stidham, and that Stidham will probably still be the starter week one. Now, Stidham has more familiarity with the offense, and I think the only way Stidham's going to start is if he beats out Cam and Camp. Cam is not the automatic starter, I'll tell you that. Cam is not the automatic starter. Cam is a great quarterback. He looks and he's in amazing shape. He's in crazy shape. You got to see the videos that he's putting out on his Instagram with the weird captions. But you don't have to focus on the weird captions. Just look at – he's so motivated, it looks like, and it shows in his body because the man is ripped. He used to be like kind of – he wasn't fat, obviously, but he was a big guy, and he didn't have so much muscle definition. But now you see there's so much muscle definition – in Cam's body, he looks like a Gronk, but as a quarterback, which is great. I mean, it's crazy. And I hope Belichick can also teach him to not take as much contact despite having so much more muscle, which he could probably take a little more contact. But, you know, I don't think Cam's going to be I'm leaning towards Cam being the starter right now. I'm leaning toward what I think is going to happen is Cam's going to be the starter for New England this year. New England's going to win the division with Stidham or Cam because the teams in the division right now, besides for Buffalo, the Jets and the Dolphins, they don't have a shot right now. Dolphins are up and coming. Jets are stuck in the middle of, like, I don't know, man. The Jets got to figure it out. But before they figure it out, they need to get Gase out of there. I mean, Gase is not going to work. Gase needs to take a step out. And then the Jets can finally try to figure something out because that was a horrible decision. And at the time, I was like, Gase was all right, I guess. But, you know, Gase, no. Gase has shown his true colors in New York, and it's not going to work there. But, with the division, with Stidham or Cam, they're going to win the division. And the people that say that we're going to tank, that's not happening. And now I think Newton's going to start this year. He's going to play well. I mean, this is the prime of his career for quarterbacks. He's 31 right now. That's the prime. That's where, for quarterbacks in the NFL, that's where you hit your prime. And Newton's going to start this year, most likely. And it's going to be good for Stidham because Stidham's going to be learning from Brady his first year already. And now he's learning from Cam Newton. You got two quarterbacks from two sides of the spectrum. You got the pocket passer who makes great decisions, all that. And you got Cam, who's also a very nice passer as well, but also has that strong type of running mobility where he can hit people down and he can also be very elusive. It's two sides of the spectrum and you combine them and you got Stidham. Stidham's learning all this stuff. When he comes in third year, he's going to be insane. He's going to be insane if he pans out. So I think that's what's going to happen. I think Cam's going to start this year. He'll bring us to the playoffs. We'll have an all right run. I don't think we're going to go to the Super Bowl necessarily right now. I'm not saying that. I know a lot of people are saying that. I think that Cam's going to be good. He's going to be good. He's going to prove himself this year if he can play like he was before his injuries, which I think he can based off of what he looks like right now and how he's working and what Belichick sees in him. I trust Belichick right now. And Stidham will be ready to come in for year three. Cam will have a good season. He'll sign a max contract somewhere else because Belichick's not going to give up the money. He trusts in Stidham because if we're going to take Cam and Cam turns out really good, we give him like a four-year contract. Stidham's stuck in the same situation that Garoppolo was, where you have a talented quarterback right there, but you have a guy who still has a lot of years in the tank. Very good quarterback, but he's just not going to be able to get that extra start. So you're probably just going to like trade him. And I don't think Belichick wants to head that way. He might be forced into that way if Cam like makes the Super Bowl or wins the Super Bowl or something, which I'll be okay with. I mean, I'm completely okay with scrapping Stidham if Cam makes the Super Bowl, but I don't see that happening. I see Cam, like, as far as he can go, AFC Championship, I think that's a good run. He has the supporting cast. What people don't realize is that Cam in Carolina, even in his best season in 2015, he had minimal support from his wide receivers. And I think he had like Jonathan Stewart as his running back, so that's all right. But you had like Philly Brown as wide receiver and Devin Funchess. And no, Devin Funchess is all right, but like he's not top tier. He didn't really have top tier wide receivers. I think his top receiver was probably like Greg Olsen. Now you're heading into New England. Brady was not happy with his weapons last year, but he is Tom Brady. So you have Mohamed Sanu, you got Jules, you got Devin Asiasi coming in, who, despite not being so well known coming into the draft, I mean, you look at his stats from UCLA and stuff, he looks very good. And then you got Dalton Keene, who's like, yeah, but he's also very flexible. So you got those two rookie tight ends that have shown some flashes and can hopefully turn into big weapons in the future. I have high hopes for Asiasi, I think. More people are going to be surprised about Asiasi when he finally gets on the scene and gets on the field this season, because I think Asiasi is going to be very good. But that's just me. And then you got guys like Jacoby Myers, who had playing time last year and can hopefully come into his own this season. Also, N'Keal Harry finally going to get a shot here with some big-time wide receiver snaps. And then you got some undrafted free agents from this year, like Jeff Thomas from Miami and Sean Riley from Syracuse, who also look like they could possibly do some damage if they can get on the roster. So, you know, Cam has some good, also, upgrade offensive line than he did in Carolina. And also, you got James White, Burkhead, Damian Harris, and Sonny Michel in that backfield. And with Andrews coming back, I mean, that backfield can be as dangerous as it was in the Super Bowl 53 season, where towards the end half, it was just running the ball constantly. So the Patriots are going to make the playoffs. Trust me with that. The Patriots will make the playoffs. They will definitely make the playoffs. Stidham or Cam, I'm leaning towards Cam right now. And what I think Belichick's looking at right now is you're going to have Cam for a year, and then you're going to put Stidham on the sidelines. And Stidham might get a few snaps here and there. And then Stidham will come in year three and take the reins. And, you know, having a quarterback sit for a few years is always the best, because you remember how Garoppolo sat for all those years. He finally got his chance on the 49ers, which wasn't even a good team before he got there. And then he just put on a tear. He put on a tear over there for his first few games. So having quarterback not immediately start, having him sit, especially when it's a fourth-round pick, is probably the best option. You don't want to just put him into the fire. And necessarily this isn't into the fire because it's only a first year. But like, if you can put him 2 years behind two very good quarterbacks in a system that's hard to learn and is going to be changing now because Cam, like, he'll probably have to alter like 40% of the system to fit Cam, which shouldn't be too hard. I think McDaniels is very good at changing up systems. They did that with Brissett. When Brissett started playing, they didn't really have to change up a lot for Garoppolo, but they gave him a little bit more opportunity to be mobile. And he also changed up when he was coaching in Denver with Tebow. He changed up a lot and helped them succeed somehow with that offense. So McDaniels is very talented in terms of changing his offenses to fit quarterbacks. And I think that he can fit Newton very well. But this is something that I've wanted, really, because a few podcasts back, I can remember saying that I want the best ideal situation for the Patriots. It might have been even for Super Bowl week. But the best idea for the Patriots is to get three quarterbacks in there for a quarterback battle. You got three sides. This is more of two sides because I don't think Hoyer's anywhere close. But you want three quarterbacks in there that are going to battle during training camp, and that's how you decide your starting quarterback. And if one goes down, then you can get the other. And also, another thing about the Newton signing that I love, there's no risk. No risk there because it's a cheap contract. So Belichick can either find out that Stidham's the starter, Newton doesn't want to stay as the backup, and cut him, and you're all set. And another thing is that this COVID stuff, they're saying, like, if you get COVID during the season, you're going to have to take, like, 2 weeks out. So that's going to be a big problem with the NFL this season, is that the COVID problem is going to eliminate players, and that's why they're cutting down rosters. They're not even expecting 90 players coming in for preseason. They're expecting, like, 75. So Newton is going to be possibly, like, a safety valve for Stidham, or the opposite. Because if one of them gets COVID during the season, the Patriots are going to be one of the teams that you can just, okay, Stidham got COVID, okay, just put Cam in there for 2 weeks and we'll probably be all right. I mean, we got two good suitable quarterbacks right there. And, I mean, that's good prevention. I don't think any other team in the NFL really has that working for them, unless maybe like you're the Dolphins and you want to throw Tua into the fire early if Fitzpatrick gets COVID or something, which would probably be all right. But I mean, so I think that's pretty good. And that's the Newton situation. I just want to talk. I talked a bit about that one. I mean, the Cam Newton situation has been such a crazy thing that has lit up NFL news for this week, and I mean, finally gave us something notable to talk about. I mean, right? Finally something notable to talk about, entertaining, and I just can't wait to see Newton. I mean, the NFL freaked out about Newton. I mean, he looks crazy. He looks like he's ready to go. Anyway, some more quarterback news. Dak Prescott, he was reportedly offered a 5-year, $175 million contract. That's $35 million a year by the Cowboys. He decided to say, nah, Jerry, I'm good. I didn't make the playoffs, but I'm good. I'm not going to take $35 million a year. I'm going to wait. You can give me a franchise tag for 33-1. And I'm not going to take this. Look. Dak, what do you want? Dak's asking for like $40 million a year. And it's the same thing. Like, if Dak gets $40 million, even if he got that contract, this is going to be like what the Russell Wilson contract was. Because I remember talking about the Russell Wilson contract a while back when that finally got signed. And how that's going to have an effect on signing other players, which it's kind of had, but they've been able to sustain through good drafting and having weapons like Tyler Lockett already on the roster. But when it comes for extension time, for guys like Michael Gallup, who I believe is heading into a contract year, Cooper's already been extended for a huge contract. So is DeMarcus Lawrence. The Cowboys cap space is destroyed. But in 4 years, CeeDee Lamb comes down the line, and you got Dak's contract on there. It's like, okay, we can't re-sign that. I don't think they're going to re-sign Gallup this offseason because, I mean, he's going to want a huge contract. You can't be carrying all that. So they have a lot in their offensive line, too. Their offensive line, too, when they'll finally, so their contracts come up. That could be bad. But if I was Dak, I mean, I admire him for going for more of the bag, but that is the bag. 5 years, $175 million, $35 million a year. And Dak's performed all right. He's performed all right for Dallas. Like, his stats on paper, they look nice. He performs well. He has an amazing cast around him. Even better this year with CeeDee, which somehow fell to them. I mean, God, how did that happen? But, I mean, Dak is right in an amazing opportunity to take that contract, lock it up. And he's just not taking it. I mean, you got Dalton behind you, too. I'd laugh so hard if Dalton somehow, like, Dak gets injured for, like, a game or so. Dalton comes in, and he turns into, like, 2014 Andy Dalton with the Bengals. Because, I mean, the supporting cast could pretty much carry any quarterback at this point. And he turns into, like, 2014 Andy Dalton. He just takes a job from Dak. Dak's just, like, on the street. He gets, like, 7.5. he gets like a Cam Newton deal, which wouldn't happen, but he gets like a Cam Newton deal in the offseason. I'd laugh. But like, you need to get that. If this is going to run into the middle of the regular season, Dak, you need to sign the contract. You need to sign the contract before you start playing games, because if something goes wrong, then you're losing all that money. And I think he knows that. I think Dak's smart enough to know that. He's a good guy. He knows. But he needs to sign that contract. He needs to sign a contract. I mean, Jerry's being very kind with that money. Very kind. But Dak don't want it, I guess. The Jets also signed Joe Flacco as a backup quarterback. Good for Darnold. Good for Darnold. Good mentor. Flacco's not going to start. Flacco's not going to start. But he's definitely he's not his former self. He's not Joe Flacco, Ravens quarterback. He's a shell of his former self. That's what I was looking for. Joe is not a great quarterback anymore. His backup quarterback fits that he's with the Jets. Good step up for a backup quarterback that they usually end up having, because it seems like every year the Jets end up going into this spiral of like seventh round quarterbacks, because either Darnold got mono or someone gets injured or something. Jets always have problems. No matter what it is, they always have problems. And Flacco, I think, is going to be a good mentor figure. And that's really all there is with the Flacco signing. Not a ton there, but good for you, Jets fans. Russell Wilson, he reportedly wants AB. So Antonio Brown, he's been coming back into the news lately. Wilson wants AB. Also, he's been working out with Lamar Jackson. And the Seahawks and the Ravens are the two possible destinations there. The Ravens haven't really shown any reported interest. But the players are still kind of in for him, and there's all these rumors floating around AB. There was a rumor that came out just a few days ago about how people are hearing AB to the Texans. The Texans are in talks with him, which came out of nowhere. Deshaun Watson, I believe, retweeted something, one of those reports. So Deshaun's for that, especially after they took away DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know how that would work out, having Bill O'Brien and Antonio Brown together. That sounds like a recipe for a disaster. Recipe for a disaster there with AB. But, you know, with the Ravens, I don't see it really fitting, because AB wants touches, and I don't think AB's going to get a ton of touches with Lamar when Lamar's running it all the time. Seahawks, I could see. They already brought in Josh Gordon, so they know how they know how to deal with problematic wide receivers, I'd say. Josh Gordon is he's not, like, insane type of person. He has drug problems, and I love Josh Gordon. I'm disappointed that Josh Gordon has had his career like pretty much decimated from what it could have been because of drugs, and it sucks. It honestly sucks for him, and I hope he can get the help he has, a relapse and all that, which happened, and hopefully he can get out of that. He was doing well with the Patriots for a bit, and then finally he went relapse back in. That really sucked. But they know how to deal with wide receivers that have a risk to them, I'd say, a risk. And AB certainly has a risk. He hasn't been in the news lately. Like, for the past few months, he's been pretty clean. He hasn't been doing anything. After the Patriots released him and all that stuff came out, then he was like going crazy. Lately, he's been all right. He's been kind of on the down low. Maybe he's come back to earth a little bit more. I'm leaning towards, I don't want to see AB come back. I think it's good for his mental health to stay out of football, because I don't want the man to get hit anymore. And I just think that the media is going to destroy him, and I don't want that for him. I want AB to be done with football for now. Just focus on your life and just get in a good state, which it seems like you are. You're in a good state right now. So I just want AB to I don't want him to play football anymore. He was a great football player. He's made his mark. He's probably a Hall of Famer. AB's left his mark. So just stay in retirement. It's the best thing. I don't want him to get any more concussions or any more things that could hurt him in the future. I just don't think that's good for him. And as good as he could be to support a team, I just don't want to see him risk his health anymore. And the Seahawks could work for him, but if he were to go anywhere, I'd want him to go to Seattle, but just because that's the best fit. But I don't want to see AB back. I don't want to see it. Next up, we got Dalvin Cook. He's going to hold out for a big contract, try and pull like a Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon thing. Didn't work out for Melvin Gordon. For Dalvin, I think it could, just because Dalvin usually gets injured and stuff. So maybe it's good to take a few games. Dalvin's a great running back, and he can get a lot of he deserves a good contract. I think the Vikings will probably give it to him because they're trying to squeeze a potential run out of the Kirk Cousins era, which has its numbers right now. So I think it's a good move for now. Hopefully he can get a deal a little bit early. But if he doesn't get a deal out of the holdout, then that was kind of – that's a fail. And they do have, like, Madison behind him. So maybe not the best position. But I think Dalvin's special. He's better. He's better. It's not like a Melvin Gordon situation where I love Melvin Gordon. I'm a big Melvin Gordon fan. But it's not a Melvin Gordon situation where you got like Austin Eckler back there that's going to put up super good numbers in that offense. I don't think Madison's that type of player. So hopefully Dalvin will get his money. I think he does deserve it. Browns want to sign Myles Garrett to a mega extension. Probably the best thing there. I mean, Myles Garrett is the best player on their defense. So once he comes back from that suspension, he can lead that defense again with Denzel Ward. And they got a good thing going right there, so it makes sense to extend him. If you're getting rid of him, then it's just you're falling back. Jadeveon Clowney is possibly going to the Cowboys. Now, Jadeveon's been out there for a while. I don't know. How, like, this man has been so far out there. He's bought $20 million. He's been talking with Tennessee and all that. Jadeveon's just, he's wilding out there right now. And he's definitely not going to get that. I think he's going to come back down to earth, kind of like Cam did. And hopefully we'll be able to see him on the field this season. But Jadeveon needs to come back down to earth. He needs to come back. And maybe like $10, $13 million a year. Like maybe that could suit you, especially in the Cowboys where they're trying to sign Dak to extension right now. So I don't think they're going to be able to shell out the money for you, Jadeveon. And they already have DeMarcus Lawrence getting $20 million a year. So you're going to, if you want to go to the Cowboys, you're going to have to go lower. And also Jamal Adams has those rumors that he wants to go to Dallas. So if they sign Jamal Adams, I mean, if they trade for Jamal Adams, they got to sign him to an extension. So the Cowboys right now seem like they're going over after everyone. And to do that, they need a lot of money. They need a lot of money. And they have a lot of money, but they don't have enough. So Jadeveon's going to have to take a lower contract. And having Jadeveon and DeMarcus Lawrence, though, come off the edge for one team is sick. That's insane. It's like the Clowney Watt thing that they had going, which they couldn't do a ton because Watt's always injured. But having DeMarcus Lawrence and Jadeveon Clowney come off the edge, and then you got Van Der Esch back there as well, and Jalen Smith, and you know you have those defenders for you. Dallas defense can be scary. I mean, Dallas on paper, if they got Jadeveon and they got Jamal Adams, they're the best team in the league on paper. And last year, that you could argue that they were the best team in the league on paper. But they just really didn't have that. And, you know, first-year head coach Mike McCarthy hopefully can get something for them. But I don't see the Cowboys doing all that. But They definitely are building something over there, and if they can get all the targets they want, they're going to look good. We're going to take a quick ad break. I'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We're now going to be going into some of this NFL, the expectations for the NFL in terms of fans going to be there, fans not going to be there, some intermediate percentages, things like that. So the NFL a few weeks ago had reports that they're going to expect full stadiums. Then came along the Hall of Fame game. Hall of Fame game, that got completely scrapped. And the Hall of Fame game, for those that you don't know, it's playing Canton next to the Hall of Fame. First preseason game. It's always a week before the actual, like, week ones of the first preseason games. And they pretty much, they're getting rid of two preseason games. So there's only going to be two preseason games this season instead of four. And just from COVID precautions and stuff like that. So games are already starting to get kicked out, which I'm fine with because, I mean, we don't really need four preseason games. It gets repetitive after a while, so I'm fine with two, to be honest. I mean, it sucks for some of those players but that are fighting for roster spots, but I'm fine with it. I'm honestly fine with it. Also, the Cowboys and Texans, they both tested positive for Corona. That was a big thing. The Texas teams. Some coaches are scared and want the season delayed. Totally disagree with. Totally disagree with it. Because this thing is going to go into next year. So what are we even delaying it for? It's like the MLB. The MLB delayed it, and then they just went back to the same exact plan. So just go ahead with no fans and do that. And once we get to the Super Bowl, hopefully you can at least let some fans in. And I'm sure you'd be able to at that point because that's far in the future, next February. And I think we'll be okay then. So some coaches want the season delayed. No. Players are going to be tested three times a week. So we got precautions there. Preseason got shortened to two. There's another one. And now there's talks of 16 practice squad spots instead of 12, which they already expanded to, which I don't think is going to happen because now there's reports of we're going to cut down the main rosters coming into camp, which is going to start at the normal time and end at the normal time, to 75 instead of 90, maybe even less. So I think the practice squad thing isn't going to happen. Although, like, there's this weird debate that should we bring in more people? This is what they were thinking with the practice squad. Should we bring in more people because people are going to get COVID, so now we have people already in the system that can come right in? Or do we not bring in as many people so that there's not as many people that get COVID when one person gets COVID type thing? So there's a whole debacle there. Where I side on that, I'm really not sure because, you know, bring in players would be all good, but if we're going to get more players infected, then it's like, eh. And plus, you could just sign someone from free agency and just bring them in like you would if someone got injured or something like that. Bring off someone like practice squad. It just COVID's just another injury to name to the list, basically. It's a two-week injury that will sideline. It's going to sideline you for 2 weeks. It's just, that's what I just think of it as. It's basically just an injury. It's going to put you out for 2 weeks. You put the precautions in as you would with any other injury. And you bring in a player like you would with any other injury. It's really that simple, and I don't think we need to put in so many, like, well, let's bring in extra players or let's cut players or something like that. Like, we don't have to do that. We can just deal with it like any other injury in terms of replacing players and things like that. Pro Bowl is going to be in Las Vegas this year. Good. Good. Honestly good. Hopefully, again, by that time, we'll be able to have some fans at least. I mean, that's what the Pro Bowl is for. And good, because Orlando wasn't a great site for it. We're putting the Raiders in Las Vegas this season. So, you know, you're going to have that in the Pro Bowl. Amazing. I feel like more people are actually going to go to the Pro Bowl in Las Vegas than they did in Orlando. I think that's pretty much a given. And, you know, it was time for a change of scenery. Really don't know. But, like, besides for the stadium thing, why they moved it from Hawaii to Orlando. That just didn't seem like the greatest move in terms of actually getting people to go or getting the players to want to go, because instead of going to Hawaii, you're going to Orlando, where it's like, yeah, Orlando is cool and all, but it's not a place where the players are just like, they want to take a week out of their lives to go down to Orlando and hang out. You know what I mean? They don't want to do that. And the fans around there, I don't think really want that either, in terms of, obviously, you see the attendance there. So I think Vegas is a much better move. And honestly, good on the NFL for realizing that and promoting their new cities that they're going to. So that's, you know, good for them. Good for them. Good for the NFL. And I think that was a good move by them. Jamal Adams, he demanded a trade. Adams reportedly is having issues with Adam Gase. You know, he's had, since the trade deadline last year, there's been rumors of Jamal Adams not happy with Adam Gase. I mean, who is? Who is happy with Adam Gase? Le'Veon's not happy with Adam Gase. I'm sure Darnold probably has something going on with Adam Gase. I mean, no one likes Adam Gase, and they should fire him. Let's be honest here. They should, because he's not going to do anything this year. Adam Gase isn't going to do anything this year. And they're trying to hold on to Jamal Adams. It's not going to work. Adams is going to leave after once his contract expires. That's pretty obvious. So they're trying to pull two draft picks for two first rounders for Adams. You're probably going to pull like a first and a third. I'd take that from Dallas. You better get something rather than let him walk later on. So trading him right now is probably the best move. Trade him to Dallas, trade him to Baltimore, although I don't think Baltimore has really enough motivation to go get him right now, just because they already kind of have their team set up. I think Dallas would have more motivation there, because he said that he wanted to go to Dallas. There's that video of Jamal Adams driving by someone in like a gas station or something, and they're like, Adams like was saying that he adamantly wanted to get out of New York. He's trying to work on it. So the whole entire situation with Jamal Adams has been deteriorating for a while. And it's a shame that, you know, it's gotten to this point with the Jets and him. He's a great player. It's just the Jets organization just doesn't know how to handle talent right now. And it's not going to hurt them to really get rid of him now, because they're not winning anyways. So you just restart it. He's a safety. He's not the center of your franchise. If you can get some good picks for him, get away from that. Get someone who's going to impact your franchise in the long haul and actually like lead you to winning. Sure, that's good. And Jamal is a great player, talented, one of the best safeties in the league already. It's a shame that they're wasting his talent over there, so they should probably ship him out. And Dallas looks like the place that he wants to go, and a place Dallas wants him. He wants to go to Dallas. Let him go to Dallas. He's basically already publicly cutting ties with the Jets, like, admittedly. So I don't think you want him coming back to that locker room and playing for you. That's just an awkward situation, and no team wants that. So I think by the offseason, he's probably going to be gone at some point, but you can't bring him back to camp. Camp's coming up right now. You can't bring back Jamal Adams to camp like that. I mean, come on. So hopefully New York will honestly let him go. Just trade him out. You can get some good picks for him right now. Do that. Just get Jamal out of there. It's for the best of the Jets and the best of Jamal Adams' career. Honestly, so hopefully that will happen in the future. Now on to some college football. College football could lose up to $4 billion by not having any people in the stands for any of the college football games, which could be problematic. So University of Miami, they brought by some student athletes back in June. The NCAA approved some voluntary activities back in June as well. That included football and basketball, so it's mostly voluntary right now. SEC had some return dates. And the U.S. So overall, right now, some colleges are saying that they can have like 25% capacity and do social distancing and stuff, which I can see. I can see that, but it could be tough to gauge and enforce. South Carolina governor just came out and said that they might not even have any like college sports being allowed to play there. So Clemson might have to play in another state, which could be very detrimental for them. But as of right now, college football's they're on a good path right now. They're kind of getting there a little bit faster than the NFL. And despite the spike back with Corona, I think they're headed on a path where they're going to be able to play. And they're bringing back some more athletes. And even if there is exceptions for athletes coming back and not students, I mean, that's fine. As long as we get to watch our college sports, I'm good with that. I'm completely good with that. And, you know, I just think there's some risk there, but the safe route is just no fans, take the loss. The NCAA has no money to take the loss and just put out the sports, because I mean, you're going to lose even money if you don't, even more money if you don't put it out. They'll figure it out. You'll go to different states. Just like I said with earlier on with the NFL, when LA was saying you can't play in LA until like 2021 for professional sports, then go somewhere else, do a bubble. NCAA can't do a bubble, but you know, for the NFL, you just send the team to some other state and play there. It's pretty easy. Well, not completely easy, but you know, it's feasible. It's doable, and it could happen. So for Clemson, I don't see any problem with them being able to like go up to North Carolina or play up there somewhere, like use Bank of America Stadium or something when the Panthers aren't playing there on Saturdays. So it's possible. I'm really looking forward to the NCAA coming back. It hurts me though, because as a Miami fan, you know, this is one of our possibly like really good years with Derek King. And we got Daz Warsham, guys like that who are sick freshmen, wide receivers. We got Greg Rousseau, who's arguably possibly the number two pick next year. Kind of like Joe Burrow, Chase Young dynamic with Lawrence and Rousseau. We kind of have that in the draft next year. I mean, great team coming up. And if like with the NFL, the COVID thing could really hurt college teams, because with the NFL, like you can lose a game because of COVID. And I bet a few teams are going to lose that game this year in the NFL because of COVID. Because their quarterback gets COVID or something, like Aaron Rodgers, say, gets COVID, and you know, they have to start whoever the heck they have as backup. Brett Hundley, maybe? No, Hundley's in Arizona now. Never mind. But, they have Jordan Love. Duh. Okay. They have to start Jordan Love. They take an L. Like, that's probably going to happen this year. I think some quarterbacks are going to get hurt, and get COVID, and you're going to lose a couple games, maybe. But with the NCAA, with how that's formatted and how you basically can't lose more than two games, that's going to suck if someone gets COVID and they're out. But that's going to have a whole nother dynamic and kind of have a fun, like, surprising, like, tension-raising type of thing going on with COVID, because you never know when it's going to strike, and when it does, your whole entire team's season could be done. So that could change up the college football picture a ton. And a lot of these teams are already getting a ton of COVID. Like I think like Clemson has like 30 cases on their team. Texas had a ton, so they're already kind of getting it out of the way right now. So you know, those teams might be protected, but for the teams that haven't got many that are going to get it in season, that's going to suck for them. And Miami's one of them, because Miami's like hasn't got any cases on their team yet, I'm pretty sure. So that could really suck. But it's interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. USC finally reinstated OJ Mayo and Reggie Bush because of the legal payments and things like that. Bush wants his Heisman back, which believe me, he should get it back. I've said this for a long time. College football players, if you're a top-tier college football player getting recruited, you're going to get paid. You're going to get paid to do things. And that's it's a problem with the NCAA, which it shouldn't be. Well, the legal payments to get to the college should. But this is why we need to allow college football players to make money off their own name, which they're doing. Thank God it's way overdue for college football players to be able to make money outside of football because of their name. They basically own the rights to you, which shouldn't happen. That's not how it should be in a free country. But that's how it is. But players get paid all the time. I mean, Wiseman, we said it a long time ago, and that came true. The Zion thing, like, you can't be surprised that Zion got paid. You can't be surprised about that. You could probably go down every first overall pick in the NBA right now, like for the past 20 years that went to college, and be like, yeah, he got paid, he got paid, he got paid, he got paid. Like, especially in the SEC. SEC has, like, people that they send out that are kind of associated with team that aren't, that will pay them. The coach will send them out, pay them, get the recruit to come to your school like $10,000 or something. It's all over the place. And you know that the NCAA does this payment stuff, and they probably won't stop even after they start to, the players start to get money based off of their likeness. They're allowed to make money off their likeness. And that is a shame. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. So, I mean, if we're going to take the Heisman away from Reggie Bush, then let's take the Heisman away from every single person that's got the Heisman in the past, like, 10 years. Let's do it. Let's do it. I mean, Winston got paid probably. Mariota. Manziel. A lot of them, I bet, did. A lot of them did. Besides for, like, the low recruits. A lot of them definitely did. Derrick Henry, most definitely. Nick Saban is definitely shelling out payments. Nick Saban is shelling out so many payments. And if that ever came out, it'd destroy Alabama's football reputation. And that's why it hasn't come out yet. I mean, they attack the small ones, but they never attack the big ones. Unless it's like a few here and there, and it's like way too blatant. And they're like, oh, we're going to figure out about this one. So that's my little tangent on the illegal payments in college sports in general. I mean, it happens all the time. I don't know why people get so mad and surprised about it. It's like, it's just how it goes. It's a dirty game. It's like baseball. Baseball it's been steroids forever. It was steroids worse in the 90s, but it's steroids now. And same with stealing signs. I mean, stealing signs has been around forever. And now you have teams that are coming out and they're like, everybody's getting exposed for it. Why is everybody so surprised that the Astros cheated? Why is everybody so surprised that the Yankees cheated? That the Red Sox cheated? They all cheat. Baseball is a cheating sport. Everybody steals signs. It's just, it happens. It's a part of the nature of the game. And it's not cheating if it's a part of the nature of the game. If cheating is a part of the nature of the game, if cheating is the game, then it's the game. It's just how it is. You shouldn't get punished for it. And if they want to target one team and say, hey, you cheated. You stole signs. You stole signs. Now, Astros did do it pretty blatantly. But if you just want to point out one team did it, that's effed up. That's effed up. You should point out everybody. Everybody. Everybody that did it should be punished. But the MLB can't do that. And why they can't do that? It's because it destroys their whole reputation, because you'd be exposing every single team, every single division from the NL and the AL, all of them. Manfred would look even worse than he already looks right now. So you can't do that, unfortunately. And, you know, shame for the MLB. They got themselves into this hole. And now they got to pull themselves out. MLB is just a joke. A joke. Absolute joke right now. And they need to pull themselves out of that one. So speaking of the MLB being a joke, let's talk about the MLB being a joke. All right. So let's go through this whole saga. that has gone on for about the past 2 months. So the MLB and the MLBPA, they've been fighting for a while. Ever since this, they shut down because of COVID, they've been fighting for what seemed like ages. They were livid. They were pissed off. It was, okay, 70 games. The owners want 70 games. No, the MLBPA. They're like, nah, we don't want to play that. We want our money. And then the owners would be like, no. Just back and forth. They can't agree on anything. That both sides, people are saying, oh, I'm on the player side. Oh, I'm on the owner's side. I'm not taking any side on this. Because I tried to at the start, and then both sides just seemed idiotic. Like, with the NBA, I can see which side's the one that's total idiots. But on the... with the MLB, both sides are idiots. Both sides are idiots. From the owners, to the players, to the coaches, to the sport as a whole, to the commissioner. Idiots. Complete idiots. They have no clue. No clue what's going on. And that shows with how they're handling the game as a whole. And I love baseball. I'm a younger person who likes baseball. That's rare. That's rare. You don't see a lot of people that like to watch baseball that are in the range below 30. You don't see that. You see it's for the people like 40 and up. That's their main demographic. That's their main demographic. Because baseball has lost a lot over the years, and it hasn't evolved for younger people to say, oh, I would rather be a baseball fan than a football fan or a basketball fan or a hockey fan, which those games have evolved. They've changed, they've become faster paced, and they evolved for the modern age. Baseball just hasn't. There's some people that can deal with that, like me. Like, I love baseball. Baseball is a good sport, and I do like to watch baseball. And I'm one of those people that would sit down and watch a 3-hour baseball game if it's, like, a good game. You know what I mean? But some people don't, they can't deal with that. And, you know, they need to evolve, and they haven't, and it's just another reason why the MLB has been so dumb over the past few years. The A's stopped paying the minor leaguers earlier on, and the Marlins said that they would pay, so there was this whole thing about if they're going to pay minor leaguers or not, all because of the COVID lockout. And, I mean... the minor leaguers, I have a problem with it because the minor leaguers are the ones that are struggling. They're the ones fighting. That the major leaguers that are whining about how they can't play or how they want all this money. They want their $30 million contracts. They won't take anything less than $30 million. They won't pay for 28. They'll only pay for 30. Only for 30 a year. The Blake Snells of the world. And then at the same time, by saying you're not going to do that, you're just screwing over the minor leaguers who are playing on low contracts that barely can get them through their daily lives, that the worst facilities, all this. I mean, you're screwing the minor leaguers, and I feel for the minor leaguers. I think I'm the only one that was really talking about the minor leaguers through this whole thing. The minor leaguers were getting absolutely screwed. They're getting screwed through this whole entire process, unless you had good ownership that actually like cared about the minors. And then you got the A's who, because they can't get the season going because they were pissed off and the players were pissed off. You have they're like, okay, we're losing some money here. So let's cut off the minor league pay. Let's just cut off the minors. And they canceled the minor league season too. So you just cut them off. You cut off your whole farm system, which, I mean, it just screws them. It's just it's a huge middle finger to the players that are coming up in your franchise that are working their asses off. I mean, and I think that middle finger is from the owners and the players, because they knew that they were screwing over the minor league players at the same time. I mean, they both knew what they were doing. And the players were being greedy and the owners were being greedy. And greed hurt the ones that need the money the most. And that's the minor leaguers, the ones that are living on not a lot of money. I mean, minor league, single A ball and stuff like that, that's tough to live on. When you're trying to work your way up to the majors for years and years and years, and you're living on very cheap contracts, you're going buses to games, you're not flying on jets or something like that. I'm describing minor league play as this horrible thing, which it's not horrible. No, it's not horrible, but it's what I'm trying to say is it's a huge downgrade from major league play in terms of pay and facilities and all of this. It's a huge, huge downgrade. And taking them out is, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me. It just sucks. So some owners were okay with no season. There was up to 8 people saying that they just wanted no season anymore. They were nowhere close, bickering back and forth. Manfred said they're 100% going to play. Then he decided to walk it back. Then they decided to come back. MLB players, they felt taken advantage of. In the PA, they said to say when and where. And then they proceeded to deny more more offers for the season with fully prorated salaries. So that was a whole thing. And then they denied proposals that would have universal DHs in both leagues, and because they wanted some more games. And ultimately, the MLB proposed a 70-game one, and they finally came to agreement on a 60-game, which was their original offer a few months back. So all of this could have been prevented, but we had to go through this whole thing because of the owners and the players just being absolute idiots. Absolute idiots trying to push for something that they both knew never was going to happen. Never was going to happen. Just go with the plan that you had back then. But they had to pull us through this mud. I mean, players first started reporting July 1st. So players are now here. And MLB is due to start in about a month with official games. I thought it would be perfect to start tomorrow on Independence Day, but they couldn't figure out early enough. So you know what would have been even better? If they started like a few months ago when they actually had the proposal that was there, and then they decided to hold off on it for like months and months. But the MLB was just too dumb. Too dumb to even go ahead and accept that. And that's my problem with the MLB. I mean, the MLB needs to start living up. It needs to start realizing the outside world is not too fond of it. And this situation has definitely turned a lot more people away from baseball. I said it's speeding up the death of the MLB. And baseball has so much potential. But you need to speed up the games a little bit more. Maybe have a little more friendliness between the players and the owners. Show that it's a fun game still. And not just all this bickering. And then maybe we'll begin to love baseball again. And that's what I want. That's what I want. And I think they had a perfect opportunity to go ahead and be the first ones to come back for the NBA and the NHL. And now they're just going to be playing at the same time. NBA and the NHL is going to take the spotlight away. And that's how it's going to be. But they'll make it through this season. It'll be a fun one, hopefully. And thank God that bickering was over. Honestly. But we'll see you after this ad break. All right, welcome back to the last part of the show. We're going to be diving into some NBA right now. So the NBA has been organizing their comeback plan for the past few months, ever since they had that one horrible night where they canceled all their games and COVID came into the realm. We've been waiting for the NBA to finally come back, and they have announced their plans to finally come back to play in the bubble in Orlando in Disney World. So the plan is to expand to 17 players. So most teams are either signing some players, like the Lakers signed J.R. Smith, good signing there. And Celtics are going to be able to bring Taco Fall up to the main roster, stuff like that. So we're going to see some interesting things right there. A lot of G League guys are going to get extra roster spots. So that's a good start there. July 30th, the seeding games are going to begin. So those are going to be the games where we're going to figure out the playoff seats and teams like the Suns and the Magic, Trailblazers, guys like that are going to be trying to fight for a playoff spot. So those type of teams that were on the verge, so they give them a shot. 40 to 50 players are reportedly still undecided on the bubble return. Players want to protest and think coming back could badly affect that. Totally disagree. I think playing is, obviously everybody's watching you when you come back. That's the best spot because you're going to have your voice amplified there. It's going to, if you want to say something about the protests and stuff like that, I mean, coming back to play is the best spot to do that. That's where your voice is going to be amplified. And I think the NBA is behind that stuff. So they're behind you. They're all for you. And I think playing and having everybody, millions of eyes on you, that's the best place for you to be heard. So, and if you're not, then you're just getting less eyes on you. So that is the best place to be heard. So that's not a great argument in my eyes. But, you know, you can do whatever you want. Players are also concerned with the health of the bubble. Again, bubble is the safest place you could be. So much health precautions. In the open world, there's barely any health precautions. And I don't think that's just an excuse to not want to play. There's some people that have good reasons, and there's other players that just, I feel, just don't want to play. Like, the Trailblazers did not want to play, and now they just don't want to play. So, the health of the bubble, like, you're getting checked all the time, and you're in a bubble with just your teammates, basically, and other teams. This is the safest place you can be. There's sports players like Djokovic from tennis who are going to nightclubs and stuff and all that. And, I mean, it's the safest place you can be. Some of these people are partying, working out, and going to nightclubs and stuff. They're not concerned about their health. And even if they are concerned about their health, you're an NBA player. You're not 70. You're not 70. I mean, you are... the percentage of the whole entire human race that has the least amount, like, least chance to die from COVID. Like, you have 0% chance to die from COVID. You are the peak performance of what a 20 to 30 something year old person can be. You're a professional basketball player. You're in an insane, you're in insane peak performance shape. You're the peak of what male performance should be. I mean, you are in the perfect position to fight off COVID. COVID's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you. I mean, plenty of players in the NBA have already got it, and I'm sure they can tell you that they're okay. They're completely okay from that. So, I mean, the health thing doesn't grab me as something that you should be concerned with the bubble. You're safe that you can be there. With that, Kyrie Irving, Dwight Howard, Avery Bradley, though they were the leaders against playing, Avery Bradley for good reason, Kyrie and Dwight, not so much. LeBron, teammate of Dwight Howard, he is completely for. So this is kind of sided Kyrie and Dwight against each other. So that was a big thing there. You know, Kyrie and LeBron. Kyrie and LeBron have had a history, obviously. And one thing I have to say, how is Kyrie the vice president of the Players Association? I mean, he was crazy, and he's just an angry guy ever since it started, about when he got to Boston, all the flat earth stuff. The flat earth stuff didn't start then, but he's been saying crazy stuff for a while now. And he is not the smartest guy. Not the smartest guy. I'm not the biggest fan of Kyrie Irving either. Don't like him at all. I'll proudly say that. Do not like Kyrie Irving at all. I don't like LeBron that much either. But I'm siding with LeBron here. I mean, LeBron's for the season. Kyrie just wants to shut it down. I've heard some people say, you know, Kyrie's that type of person that if he does not have a shot, and he doesn't have a shot at the finals because Durant's not going to be there, and I believe Dinwiddie has COVID. Even if he has Dinwiddie, he still doesn't have a shot. Kyrie doesn't have a shot at the finals. And some people are saying, you know, Kyrie's that type of guy that if he doesn't have a shot, he doesn't want anybody else to have a shot. And that's perfect. That is a perfect description. Kyrie Irving is the type of guy that if he can't have fun, he doesn't want anybody else to have fun. He doesn't want that. And I don't know why that should be the leader of an organization. I don't even know how he got voted in there. Hope he gets voted out. Players should be smart enough to do that. Players should be smart enough to do that. I believe the NBAPA is more of a smart player association than a MLB, which I have to say is the dumbest, than the NFL. PA is not that bright either. But, I mean, the NBAPA, come on. Well, why is Kyrie there? Kyrie said some more remarks saying that something seems fishy with the restart. Why? What's fishy with the restart? We're trying to play basketball again. And it's this. We're taking all the precautions. There's nothing fishy. He's always trying to say things like a conspiracy. It's the NBA. You're employed to play for the NBA. We're just trying to play basketball. What? There's no conspiracy here. What is the conspiracy with playing basketball? I mean, am I misunderstanding something here? Or is Kyrie, like, I just think he just doesn't want anybody else to play because he knows he doesn't have a shot. He's that type of person. Anyways, Kyrie had this whole thing a couple weeks ago where he supposedly proposed a new league. This is from the New York Daily News. He supposedly proposed a new league in a group chat with some Brooklyn players. That was later denied. I don't know if the NBA is trying to save face. I'm kind of having a conspiracy theory here because I think Kyrie is the type of person to have a stupid idea and say something like that. And if Aiden and Alejandro were here with me, we've talked about this before off the podcast, but they certainly agree. A little biased because none of us like Kyrie at all. But, you know, that didn't happen. But even if that didn't happen, his remarks have been horrible. Absolutely horrible. Should not have any position of power in the NBA, but he does, so that's unfortunate. Charles Barkley, he said he called not playing would be stupid. Totally agree. Other NBA players such as Kyle Kuzma and Jason Tatum, they were looking for insurance in Orlando because contract extensions, and they thought if they got injured, they'd kind of get screwed over, which, I mean, it is true. I believe they did secure some type of insurance in the restart agreement. So good for them. And I also think that's a good thing. And that's like a concern that, like, I can get behind that concern. The COVID concern where the bubble is the safest place, I cannot get behind that. The protest thing where it is literally the best place to have your voice heard is not a good excuse. I mean, That's the excuse I can get behind. And then the other excuses I can get behind is like Ariza and Bradley opting out for family related issues. Ariza wants to spend time with his children, I believe, that she had with a woman who he just separated with. And he wants to have time with them now, which I can totally understand that. It's a family thing, and I would do the same. And Avery Bradley, he has a kid that is more susceptible to a possible COVID risk, and he doesn't want to have to be away from him for so long and or have him be affected by COVID. So that makes sense for Avery Bradley as well, and that could be a big hit to the Lakers defense too as well, because now they got Caruso and JR, and their defense is not great. But that a thing to note for when they match up with any team in the playoffs. Anyways, Bradley and Ariza, good. They had good reasons to opt out, and I support them fully in that. But for the reasons Kyrie Irving wants to opt out, and those other 40 to 50 players, if they don't have a good reason like that, then, or they're just opting out because their health, even if they don't have any problems, it's just they don't want to get COVID. It's like, come on, grow up, just grow up. And I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but you got to realize these guys are not going to die. They're not going to die if they get COVID. They're not. And it's the safest place. The safest place from COVID. They're in the bubble. You're getting checked every single day. You got deadlines. You can't go out to nightclubs because you're in the bubble. And you can't stay up later because you got like curfews. I mean, this is so organized. This took so much organizing. This is the best place you can be. And I just don't understand why NBA players that don't have any like family problems and they're just talking about health, they don't want to go in. It's like, come on. But the NBA will go on with or without some of these players. Like, the NBA can move on without Avery Bradley and Ariza, and Ariza and Bradley can move on without the NBA for this season. So yeah, I support both those sides. I support Avery Bradley, I support Trevor Ariza, and I support the return of the NBA as a whole. So that's going to do it for Sports Report Podcast episode 29. Thank you guys so much for standing with us through this whole entire COVID thing. It's almost over, guys. It's almost over. We'll finally be able to report on and talk about some actual sports games, hopefully, in the future. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. You can listen to us on Anchor, Radio Public, Breaker, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you can get podcasts. I believe Stitcher as well. And you can follow us at Sports Report Po1 on Twitter, at Sports Report Podcast on Instagram. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, my personal, for Sports Report, at Billy Sports Report. And that's going to be it for today's episode. We love you guys. Thank you guys so much for your support. We couldn't do this without you. Aiden and Alejandro will hopefully be back with me next week so we can talk some more. Oh, also check out our YouTube, which is Sports Report Podcast in the sports in the search bar. We upload a lot of highlight videos, sports like player highlight videos, and also some podcast highlights there, as well as full podcasts. And yep, thank you so much for your support. We will see you guys next week. Peace.